Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Novick. Good morning and welcome to all of you. It is for me a great honor to have the opportunity to participate this morning in a program devoted to and dedicated L'Ilui Nishmas HaRav Pinchas Ben HaRav Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livracha, memory of Rabbi Pinchas Hirschsprung, who lived a life that was greatly exalted and one that had a tremendous impact on so many people. I want to acknowledge his son who is here. Could his son please identify himself? Thank you very, very much for coming. Thank you. We're honored by your presence. Grandson who's here. We'd like to acknowledge the presence of the grandson as well who's here. Thank you. Thank you very much, the members of the family. A number of you knew Rabbi Hirschsprung well. Dr. Dobrinsky mentioned to me when I walked in this morning that he learned with Rabbi Hirschsprung over the summer for many, many summers for 3 hours a day. So that's pretty extraordinary. He said to me that Rav Hirschsprung learned with whoever wanted to learn, sometimes 3 hours a day, sometimes 1 hour a day. He learned with him for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for an entire summer, more than one summer. Speaks to the incredible devotion of Torah on the part of this tremendous Torah personality. And others of you also knew him. I knew him in Montreal and had a tremendous relationship with him and were deeply impacted by him. Rav Hirschsprung was born in 1912 in Dukla, in Galicia, in a city in Poland. He studied with the Zayde, who was also the Rebbe of the Klosenberger Rebbe, and he became a Talmud of Rav Meir Shapiro, who was the head of the Yeshivas Chachmi Lublin. Rav Hirschsprung was one of the most chashuv Talmidim in Yeshivas Chachmi Lublin. He wrote his first sefer shortly after his bar mitzvah. I'm going to say it again because it's hard to believe. He wrote his first sefer shortly after his bar mitzvah, and his life was totally shattered and shut down and totally affected by the Shoah, the source of the memoir that the Azrieli Foundation has commissioned, and all of you will be receiving if you have not yet this morning. He came to Montreal after traveling through Europe. He came to Kobe, to Japan. Then he came to Montreal and developed a life in Montreal and developed a family in Montreal and developed a community in Montreal. Was the chief rabbi of Montreal from 1969 until he was nifter in 1998. He was a Rosh Yeshiva. He founded a Beis Yaakov, somebody who was deeply involved in the community and someone who had a tremendous impact on so many people. I want to thank CJF, the Kolam Midreshet Yom Rishon, the Arbisfeld Kolam Midreshet Yom Rishon, Rabbi Glasser for co-sponsoring. I want to thank the graduate school, the Azrieli Graduate School, Dr. Novick for co-sponsoring. And I want to thank the Azrieli Foundation for making today possible. As I'm sure you know, originally the schedule was for Rav Herschel Schechter to be the first speaker and for me to be the second speaker. So that actually is something that I always enjoy very much. We have two Schechters who are the presenters. YU is blessed with Rav Herschel, and I sort of come along for the ride. I tell him that we'd be mekayim the Mishnah and Chulin HaKol Shechtim, that we have a number of different Shechters. Obviously, Rav Herschel is head and shoulders way above where I am, but I welcome the opportunity to be able to hear him and to learn from him and to be with him. But what a privilege and what a pleasure it was this morning that Rabbi Daniel Feldman came to give this shiur. The shiur of Rabbi Feldman, as you know and as you heard, is incredibly outstanding. He is an unbelievable magid shiur. He has knowledge and breadth of knowledge that is just astounding. And I don't want to embarrass him because he's sitting here, but I don't know if you noticed that he did not have a single sheet of paper in front of him except for the handout that he once in a while referred to throughout his entire presentation. And then when he was finished, he did a chazara, boom, 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 every single point, absolutely clear. We are blessed We are blessed by Rav Daniel Feldman. The Jewish people is in incredible good hands when the next generation is so well endowed with Torah, with decency, with humanity, with wisdom, with Menschlichkeit. It is a privilege for me to be able to follow Rabbi Daniel Feldman, to be able to share my thoughts with you today. I thought that I would devote my, you'll be my chamira, Daniel, I know you think, I hope. I meant every word. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. I thought that I would devote the time that I have today with you to focus on this book. This is the book that, in particular, brings the Azrieli Foundation to Rabbi Hirschsprung. Rabbi Hirschsprung was very close with David Azrieli, and the Azrieli Foundation is very much invested in bringing the message of the Holocaust and the memoirs of the Holocaust to the attention of the English-speaking world. And among many memoirs that they have sponsored, they sponsored this book, an English translation of the memoirs of Rabbi Hirschsprung. Memoirs originally appeared in Yiddish in Montreal in 1944. If you look at the first page, please, of the handout, if anybody does not have a copy of the handout, please avail yourself. There should be a few extras still around. The bottom left, you'll notice, this is the cover page of the English translation, first published for Natzischen Yamertal, Zichrenis von Apollet, published in Montreal in 1944. It was translated into Hebrew, the next page, Me'emek HaBocha HaNatzi Zichronot Shel Palit, in Yerushalayim in the year 2012. I tried very hard to find the original Yiddish 1944 version, and I was not able to do so. So I bring you only the Hebrew translation from 2012 and the English translation that you should have before you. I noticed right away that there is an inconsistency, that the English translation does not precisely translate the Hebrew translation. But I'm not in any position to assess because I don't have the original. So if I had the original Yiddish, I'd be better able to assess the English translation. I compare it with the Hebrew and it's not exactly precise. In order to get the full import of what it is that Rabbi Hirschsprung was trying to convey, especially for our presentation and our purposes this morning, we need to take a look at the Hebrew. But I'm going to keep the Hebrew in the background. You could follow along in the Hebrew if you'd like. I want to read from the beginning, right at the beginning. This is how he begins the book. Let's start with the Hebrew, Zachar Eis Asher Oso Lecha Amalek. It starts with a pasuk. And now let's go back to the English. You can keep flipping back and forth. Remember what Amalek did to you. At the outset, I would like to state that it was never my intention to note down and to make public all the various metamorphoses I went through under the murderous whip of the modern-day Amalekites, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. Clearly, there's a parallel between Nazis and Amalek. That's how he begins, Zachar Eis Asher Oso Lecha Amalek. And right away at the beginning, he refers to the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, as modern-day Amaleks. However, to keep what I experienced bottled up inside of me, to internalize it without sharing with others, I couldn't do. Now remember, this is 1944. The Rabbeinu Shalom enabled him to come to Canada, and it's 1944, and the Shoah is gearing up, and the Shoah is in full force, and he, Baruch Hashem, has found safety in Canada and in the city of Montreal, and he's a young man, and er kann sich nicht einhalten. I can't control myself. There are things that I've experienced. There are things that are bottled up inside me that I need to share. I must write them down. I have to share them. On various occasions, I unburdened myself to people in this city who befriended me. An immigrant comes, a fremde comes in, who knows who he is, who knows what he is. He comes into a city. The people in Montreal embrace him. They take care of him and they befriend him. And he shares with them. He shares with them his stories, the stories that we read about in this incredible gut-wrenching and shattering book and memoir that he wrote and that was published. And then he meets a publisher of the Canadian Adler, who suggested that I should write. First, I didn't want to write. Who am I? I can't write. My skills are limited. And a few of my friends said, it's a pas gornish for a Rosh Yeshiva, it's a pas gornish for a Talmud Chacham to write stories. Talmid Chachamim write Lomdis, Talmid Chachamim write Sfarim, Talmid Chachamim write Tshuvis and Chedushim. It's pasnish I should write, it's demeaning for a rabbi, I shouldn't be doing it. But this friend said that I have to do it and I need to employ my modest writing skills, next to the last paragraph towards the bottom, to ensure, and this is crucial, to ensure that our children and our children's children and all future generations would know and remember again what the modern day Amalekites did for us. In the Hebrew, Leman Yedu Yeladenu Vialde Yeladenu Viyiskaru Ladore Doros Masheha Amalekim Hamoderniim Hanatsim Yamach Shemam Asula Avotenu Bizmanim Avru. And it's appropriate that this should be sponsored by the Israeli Graduate School of Jewish Education, which is devoted in its totality, L'man yedu doroseichem, your children and your children's children, in order to be able to perpetuate a message of Jewish identity and Jewish meaning from one generation to the next. And so he felt, Rabbi Hirschsprung, that I can't be quiet. First of all, I can't control myself. And second of all, there's an obligation here. You think a pasnish for a Rosh Yeshiva, but there's an obligation, L'man yedu, you need to know for all future generations, children, kinder, kinskinder, we need to know exactly what happened. We need to know exactly what Amalek did for us. And I told myself at the end, when I back to the English, the last few lines, that it was in no way demeaning for a Torah student to fulfill a mitzvah. What I'm doing is a kiyum a mitzvah saseh. I'm not just writing stories, I'm being mekayim a mitzvah saseh, zocher es asher osa lecha Amalek. This is what Jews do, this is what Talmid Chachamim have to do. We have an obligation to remember, we have an obligation to follow God's Torah. God's Torah says remember, and therefore it's appropriate for me to do this. And I am describing what I saw with my own eyes. I want to devote my presentation to two parts. The first part is, what is Amalek? And the second is, what is Zachar? I want to parse this pasuk. Zachar, Eis, Asher, Asa, Lecha, Amalek. Zachar and Amalek. I want to begin with Amalek. So we've already seen that the Nazis are Amalek. Zonish, Menin, you shouldn't think that Amalek is an ancient tribe, that Amalek is some kind of ethnic designation, that Amalek is a people described somewhere way back when at the dawn of Jewish history. But Amalek lives on. And Amalek right now in the 20th century is the Nazis. On the top right, I give you a cover page of a sefer that was published entitled Zachar, was published in Yerushalayim in 1993. And it's about Nazi Germany. And the title is Zachar, and the subtitle, Zechiras Masa Amalek Shebedorenu Germania HaNazit. This is Amalek. Amalek is now on the top left-hand side. There's a scholarly journal called the Simon Dubnov Institute Yearbook in 2007. There's an article about an organization that was devoted to perpetuate the memory of the Holocaust right after it concluded in the year 1946. The Central Jewish Historical Commission in Lodz, and it's not from, and it's not observant, but they also understand. You have it on the top left. Remember what Amalek did to you. It's clear that there is an association between Nazi Germany and Amalek, and perhaps for us in this building, what is most significant and probably most well known, the association of Amalek, not just with an ancient tribe, but with an ideology, was proffered by none other than Morenu Verabenu, our teacher, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Salezvechik Zatzal, whose 25th Yortzeit is coming up this coming Chol HaMoed Pesach. Hard to believe, it's 25 years that the Rav passed away. And in one of his most celebrated statements, he drew attention to this. He quotes a stira in the Rambam, or a question on the Rambam, in the middle of page 2. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim Perek Hei, Halacha Daled, Mitzvah Saseh, Lahachrim, Shiva Amamin. We have an obligation to destroy the seven nations, Chiti, Chivi, Yavusi, Girgashi. We know we mentioned their names, the list of the seven nations who occupied Israel in early times. Mitzvah Haseh, Lahachrim, Shiva, Amamim, Shenem, Acharem, Tacharimim. We're obligated to destroy them. And if you don't destroy them, Ya'ivra, Eloisa, say, but says the Rambam, you don't have to worry, you Kvarov at Zichram, we don't know who they are anymore. You walk out on the street, you walk out on Amsterdam Avenue, you see a stranger, oh, hello, how are you? Oh, where are you from? Oh, I am a Yavusi. Oh, I am so sorry that you told me that, because I have an obligation to kill you. Don't worry, it's not going to happen, because we don't know who they are anymore. Kvar Ovad Zichron, we don't know from Chivis, Yavusi, Girgashi, we just don't know Ukvar Ovad Zichron. Zotar Radbaz, what's Ukvar Ovad Zichron? Why don't we know who they are? Masha Kosav, the top left of this little section, Ukvar Ovad Zichron, Lefishabo Sancherev, Ubilbel Asolom. He quotes a Mishnah in Yodayim at the bottom of the page, where the little carrot is. Kvarola Sancherev Malachashu Bilbel Eskol HaUmos. When Sancherev came, way back when, early on, way back before the common era, Sancherev came and made such a ma'apecha in the world that nobody knows anymore who they belong to. All ethnic identities have been collapsed. You don't know anymore. There was such an upkarenish. There was such an upheaval. There was such a tumult. It was such a movement of populations. It was so crazy that by the time the dust settled, people didn't even have a sense of who they belonged to anymore. They didn't know which group they were a part of. So you don't have to worry, Kvarov Adzichram, Azoy Zokter Radbaz, to explain the Rambam. But then we have the next halacha. The next halacha. V'chein mitzvah saseh la'abed zecher amolek. Shenemar timche zecher amolek. We have to destroy zecher amolek. U'mitzvah saseh liskor tamid masa v'aram. We have to remember. And then he quotes a pasuk mipiyeshmoa lamdu zochem bepeilos ishubach belev she'osor lishkoach evoso v'sinoso. We can never forget. Ask Rabbi Soloveitchik, what's missing from the second Rambam? The same kvarav atzichem. Do you know Amalek is? Amalek is leichet amol given. Chivi yavusi girgoshi chiti chivi prizi. The Rambam doesn't say. Don't worry about it. It's not relevant anymore. Kvarav atzichem. The same Radbaz. The same Mishnah in Yadayim, Sancherev came, Ubilbul Eskol HaOlam, why doesn't it apply to Amalek as well, page 3, and in a famous talk that the Rav Zatzal gave across the street up the block in the Nathan Lamport Auditorium in 1956, Rabbi Soloveitchik talked about what was challenging the Jewish people at that time, and it's hard to remember. On Yom HaAtzmaut 1956, he gives a talk in the Lamport Auditorium. And let's go back for 3 seconds. What's going on in the Jewish world on Yom HaAtzmaut in 1956? What happened in the fall of 1956? It was terrible. There's a war, there's a Sinai campaign, and the Jewish state is in danger. And these are a few months beforehand. And there's terrible danger. And the Rav wants to rally the American Jewish community. Don't be quiet this time like you were quiet last time. Last time during the time of the Shoah, you didn't raise your voices. And you were passive, and this can't happen anymore. And the Jewish people are in danger, and we need a rally to help them. Divine Providence is testing us. Top of the page, page 3, turn it sideways once again. Page 4. Testing us once again by the crisis that has overtaken the land of Israel. Let it be clearly stated, the matter does not just affect the political future. The designs of the Arabs are directed not just against the political sovereignty, but against the very existence. At the Mizrahi Convention, skip a few lines. At a Mizrahi Convention, I quoted my father, a blessed memory, that the proclamation, Muhammad la Shem la Malek Midor Dor, does not only translate into the communal exercise of waging obligatory war against a specific race, but includes as well the obligation to rise up as a community against any people or group that filled with maniacal hatred directs its enmity against Knesset Yisrael. When a people emblazes on its banner, L'chu v'nachichidei migoy v'lo yizacher shem Yisrael od, it becomes Amalek. That is Amalek. Amalek is not just in ancient times. Amalek is in ancient times, in medieval times, in modern times. That makes you Amalek. Amalek is an ideology. Amalek is a perspective. Amalek is a goal. Amalek is not an ethnic designation of a people. In the 1930s and 1940s, the Nazis with Hitler, Yimach Shmo, at their head filled that role. They were the Amalekites. Today, their place has been taken over in 1956 by the mobs of Nasser and the Mufti and Chule Vule. And you'll notice that there's a footnote, footnote number 25. After anybody who says, L'chu v'nachidemi goy v'lo yizoch Hashem Yisrael lo becomes Amalek, footnote 25, and I give you footnote 25 at the bottom of the page, he quotes both Rambams, and he quotes the Radbaz, and he quotes the Mishnah in Yodayim. How could it be? Why does the Rambam not say Ukvarov HaZichron by Amalek like he said by the Shiva Amamin? And the answer is because it's not Ukvarov HaZichron. The answer is because they're still around. Because this is an issue that we have to face as a Jewish community into the 20th century. And we had it in the middle of the 20th century. And now we have it into the next part of the 20th century. We have it not only with the Jews in Europe, but we have it also with the danger and the challenge facing the state of Israel. So the Rav made it clear, next page, page 5 on the left side, he gave a talk. Once again, he gave a talk in the Nathan Lamport Auditorium in 1974, Le'ilu Nishmas, his wife, who is Amalek, left side of page 4, a man who personifies total evil. It is a man to whom immorality becomes the norm. Who is Amalek? Of course it was a wandering Bedouin tribe. But it's not just next paragraph, a Bedouin tribe. Next paragraph, God bless you. I heard from my father in the name of my grandfather, Rav, always you say in the good old days in Yiddish, I heard from Taten and Noman von Zayden. And then when he started to give shiurim in English, I heard from father in the name of grandfather that Amalek is any people or group who are committed to one purpose, the destruction of the Jewish people. So Amalek is alive. I just want to show you historically that in Christian theology, it's exactly the same. On the right-hand side, I gave you a talk that the Pope gave, Pope Urban II, gave in 1095 to try to get Christians to conquer the city of Jerusalem from the Muslims. In 1095, the Muslims had control over Jerusalem. And for some reason at that time, the Pope felt a pasgornished. Why should Muslims have control over the city of Jerusalem? Christians should have control. And he refers to the Muslims as Amalekites. In his talk, he's trying to build up support for the Crusades. Moreover, you who are to go, the right side of page 5, shall have us praying for you. We shall have you fighting for God's people. It is our duty to pray. Yours to fight against the Amalekites. This notion that Amalek is alive and well is not just a Jewish notion. It's a general notion. But for us, it is absolutely centrally significant and centrally important. And so Rav Hirschsprung, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, begins his book by invoking Amalek 4 times just in the pre-introduction, in the preface. Starts, Zachar Eis Asher Asa Lecha Amalek. This is not something that is ancient history, but it is something that we live with now. I have been collecting sources. I'm up to about 35 different sources of different makoros that refer specifically to the Nazis as Amalek. It is throughout, pervasive throughout the literature, and it's important for us to realize because it has nafkaminis, it has implications. I want to now move to what does Zachor mean. And I want to now move to what does Zachor mean, remember, and I want to frame it in the context of teaching, both students and also parents and bubbies and zadies, teaching children and grandchildren. What does Zachor mean? Zachor eis asher asa lecha Amalek. The centrality of remembering in our tradition is obvious and all-pervasive. On the left side of page 6, I quote from a very, very prominent book by Professor Yosef Chaim Yerushalmi. It's called Zachor, the subtitle Jewish History and Jewish Memory. Last paragraph, only in Israel, left side, page 6. And nowhere else is the injunction to remember felt as a religious imperative to an entire people. We remember. Jewish memory is central. Zachor is crucial for us. There is no other people in the history of humanity for whom this has been as central as it is and continues to be for us. Only in Israel. Israel means Klal Yisrael. And nowhere else is the injunction to remember felt as a religious imperative. Its reverberations are everywhere. Everywhere. Zachor Yemos Olam Binu Shnos Dor Vador Yerushalmi counted. The word Zion, Chaf, Resh, and its various declensions appears 169 times in the Hebrew Bible. It is all over the place. For us, memory is absolutely central. In the 16th century, the Baalei Kabbalah inserted what are known as the Sheish Zechiros at the end of davening, Shachris. So if you look at the end of Shachris, some of you may say it, but you'll certainly see it in the Siddur. So after the Yom, and after Nebuch, the Kapitel Tillim, you have to say in a Beis Avel, and then sometimes they have the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, and you'll have the Sheish Zechiros on the top right-hand side of page 6. And here are the Sheish Zechiros that the Baalei Kabbalah inserted. It first has its origins in the 16th century. L'man tizkar siyom tzeschame eretz Mitzrayim. Raki shama lecha shmar nafshecha ma'od pen tishkach es hadvarim. We have to remember Maimed Har Sinai. Even though here it's not in the Lashon of Zohar, it's in the Lashon of pen tishkach. Number 3, Zohar es asher asu lecha amalek. Zohar es al tishkach es asher eksafta se shama lekecha bamidbar. Zohar es asher asa shama lekecha lemiriam. Zohar es yom shabbos lekatsho. The Chidah has 10 Zohars. I want to bring your attention a wonderful Sefer that was extremely helpful to me. This is a Sefer called Sefer Sheish Zechiros. An entire Sefer devoted to an analysis of each one of these Sheish Zechiros. And at the beginning, there are multiple versions of more lists, of different kinds of lists that include many more than Sheish Zechiros, and analyzes what each one of them is meant to be. It's a very, very wonderful Sefer. I learned a great deal from it. But I want to ask, what does it mean to remember? So, I try to be a good boy, try to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Zachar es asher asa lecha Amalek. I want to remember what Amalek did. What does it mean that it's now February 2018, I remember. Does the word remember what Amalek did to you, the word remember in that sentence, does that mean the same as the word remember in the sentence, I remember what I ate for breakfast this morning? So I wanna unpack Zohar precisely because it's so important for us. And precisely because it's so important for us as educators. And by educators, I don't only mean formal educators, I mean informal educators as parents and grandparents. Does the word remember what Amalek did to you mean the same thing as the word remember in the sentence? I remember what I ate for breakfast this morning, and I don't think it means the same thing. So what does it mean? I want to introduce a very important principle, a concept, that was developed first by a French sociologist by the name of Maurice Halbwachs, and that is the differentiation between what he calls personal memory and national or collective memory. Personal memory or national and collective memory. Look at the bottom of page 5. That's page 6. Show and tell. So I've done a lot of work, a lot of thinking about the notion of memory. Segeit Miron, what is it to remember? Because it's so pervasive. So this happens to be one book that I found very helpful, The Collective Memory Reader, edited by Jeffrey Olick and a number of other scholars. On page 19 in this book, there's a summary of Halbwachs. And this is mamish halacha lemaisa for us. Halbwachs thus distinguished, I'm at the bottom of page 6, between autobiographical memory and historical memory. What is autobiographical memory? That means personal memory. The former concerns the events of one's own life that one remembers because they were experienced directly. I remember my first grade teacher. I remember my chasana. I remember things happened to me. I remember the first time I went to visit the city of Yerushalayim. I experienced those things directly by myself personally. though it also includes reference to events which one did not experience directly, but around which one's memory is oriented. For instance, you're likely to remember what you were doing when an event designated historic by the group took place, such as 9/11. So you remember where you were 9/11. Ich bin schon ein alter Jid. I remember exactly where I was when I heard that Kennedy was assassinated. So that was like some moment. The first time I was learning in Yeshiva Philadelphia, I was playing football on the front lawn. Somebody comes by, very depressed. Some neighbor walks and says, "You have to stop playing, you can't be happy." The president was just shot. So we remember, as it were, not just, didn't happen to me, I wasn't there, I wasn't in Dallas, I didn't see it on television. So there's also a connection. 9/11, where were you when you first heard about the planes going into the World Trade Center? So you're likely to, quote, remember that as well, even if these events did not affect you directly in your individuality, rather than in terms of the group of which you're a member. So that's called autobiographical memory. This sort of direct autobiographical memory, and then this maybe a shtickala indirect autobiographical memory, but it's something that I remember. Historical memory, in distinction, refers to residues of events by virtue of which groups claim a continuous identity through time. Historical memory of the United States Civil War, for instance, is part of what it means to be an American, and is part of the collective narrative of the United States. But nobody has autobiographical memory of the Civil War. So we have now a very important nafkamina that we need to operate with, that we will find extremely helpful to be mekayim the various sheish zechiros, to be mekayim mamish mitzvos asei midaoraisa. So we have what's called personal memory or autobiographical memory. I remember what I ate for breakfast. And then we have historical memory, societal memory, social memory, collective memory, or historical memory. But now, he hanosenes, now I want to sharpen the question. What does it mean as a culture, and now let's talk about Jews, and now let's talk about Amalek. What does it mean for me to remember Amalek? How can I remember, R-E-M-E-M-B-E-R, something that I did not experience? How does that work? How is this whole the notion, the concept of historical memory operate? Go even further, how can an individual actively form or create collective Jewish memory? So don't I want, as a parent, to convey memories to my children and to my grandchildren? Don't I want, as a Jewish educator? Isn't the notion of creating a memory central in the work that we do, whether we're formal or informal educators? It's very relevant to the world of Jewish education. And here's what I want to suggest. I want to suggest, maybe it's a chiddush, maybe it's not a chiddush, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I want to suggest that Zion Chaf Resh in Hebrew does not mean remember in the sense that we understand remember to mean. I want to define Zion Chaf Resh in Hebrew to mean to draw attention to place at the forefront of our consciousness. That's how I am defining the Hebrew word, root, Zayin Chaf Resh. And my raya is Shabbos. My raya is Shabbos. Zohar es yom ha-Shabbos lekacho. I'm asking you a simple question. You have heard Zohar es yom ha-Shabbos lekacho thousands of times. Every year we hear, we learn it from the Torah. We make Kiddush on Shabbos. We hear people make Kiddush on Shabbos. We go to multiple Kiddushin. Nochamo, Vidramo, Ibegechazit, Zohar es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho, Aleph Beis. What does that mean? Remember Shabbos. What Shabbos like happened to me? It's a thing? So now I'm going to remember? What does it mean to remember Shabbos? Next page, Zokt Rashi. For me, this is the key point out of which I want to elaborate and develop the notion of memory. What does it mean, remember? What does it mean to be mekayim sheish zechiros, mitzvot saseh? How does it express itself? What does it mean for an educator
to try to expose children, young children, older children, to memory. What does it mean as a parent? What does it mean? We have an obligation. We are entrusted with the next generation. Rabbi Hirschberg writes at the beginning, it's not about me. I'm not writing this for me. I'm writing this l'man yedu d'reiseichem, that children and children's children need to know we're not in it for us alone. We're in it to be able to perpetuate something. Whatever we do, that's why we're here. That's why we're alive. I believe that I'm alive in order to do this. That's why Hashem, I believe, put me on this world, to be able to perpetuate something first in my own family and then maybe beyond. That's our avodah. And how do we do it? And how do we create memory? It's so central. Zok Rashi on the Pasuk, Zohar, Es Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, top of page 7. Zok the Heiliger Rashi, Tenu Lev Lizkor Tamid Es Yom HaShabbos. What does it mean, Zohar? Tenu Lev Lizkor Tamid. You should always think about it. You should always be focusing on it. How does it express itself? She'im nizdamen l'cha chefetz yafeh tehei mazmino l'shabbos. A whole week we're thinking about Shabbos. A whole week we'll look forward to Shabbos. What does it mean, remember? It means it's at the top of my consciousness. And it's a machlekes beis Shammai and beis Hillel. In the Gemara and Maseches Beitza, Tezayin Amad Aleph, right below, and I gave you the English on the left side, Tanya. Every day he's eating l'chavit Shabbos. Every day, matzah, behema na'ah, omer zu l'shabbos. On Sunday, he comes across a delicious shtickle of flesh. He says, you know what, it's Sunday. I'm not going to eat it today. L'chavit Shabbos, I'm going to put it aside. I'll put it in the refrigerator, put it in the freezer. I'm going to have it l'chavit Shabbos. Motza acheres noyim edo. So then Tuesday he comes across mamish gorish tikkala pulled beef. Like today, I went to a dinner last night. Like pulled beef is like that's it today. Like if you don't have pulled beef, like it's like the mamish the kodesh kadoshim now of the shmor pulled beef. So Nebuchadnezzar only had a shtikkala steak on Sunday, but God to God from Baruch Hashem on Tuesday he came across a shtikkala pulled beef. So he says, pulled beef is more chashiv than a shtickle of steak. So what does he do? Says the Gemara, Motza behema no'a, omer zu l'shabbos, motza acheres no'a heimena, meniach es hashnia. Now I leave over the second. Now, v'ochel es harishayna. Zok Rashi says, v'ochel es harishayna, nimtza ochla l'zu, I'm eating the steak from Sunday, Kadesha Tehe Hayofa Ne'echelis B'Shabbos, so that the Tuesday better piece could be eaten for Shabbos. Kadesha Tehe Hayofa Ne'echelis B'Shabbos, Tahavyelo Achilosa Shel Harishona is also the Kavod Shabbos. When he eats the steak on Tuesday, he's eating the steak on Tuesday, it's also a Kiyam in the Kavod Shabbos. Because I'm eating today's steak today because I have something better for Shabbos. So what does it mean? Remember Shabbos. It means keep it on your consciousness. Avol Hillel Azake Mida Acheres Haisalei. The Gemara continues. Shakol Maisel L'Shem Shamayim. Zok Rashi, Hillel said, don't worry about it. If you have a shtickle of steak on Sunday, enjoy it. Deibishtet Helfen. By the time Shabbos comes, you're going to have mamish as Einzen Azelch. You're going to have delicious things. It's beautiful. Rashi, by Teach, said this Damen Leinoa L'Shabbos. So the Achrayim try to understand, looks like Rashi Paschal is like Beis Shammai here, not like Beis Hillel, all kinds of discussion going on. But what's my point? My point is to define the word Zayin Chaf Resh. Turn to the next page. The Ramban on this Pasuk, the Ramban on the Pasuk of Zachras Yom HaShabbos Lekacho in the middle of the right column. V'alderech HaPshat Amru. V'alderech HaPshat Amru on the right side of the page. V'alderech HaPshat Amru. Shehi mitzvah shenizkor tamid b'chol yom es haShabbos. We should remember, quote, remember Shabbos every day. Shelo nishkachei, we shouldn't forget it. V'lo yischalof lanu b'shar yom, and we shouldn't mix it up with other days. Ki b'zachreinu also tamid, because when we have Shabbos on our consciousness, always, every day, hayom yom rishon b'Shabbos, hayom yom sheni b'Shabbos, hayom yom shlishi b'Shabbos, when we remember Shabbos every day, Yizkar Maisa Bereshis B'chaleis V'noida B'chaleis She'esh La'olam Borei. There is a conceptual reason why we do it. What's the point of having Shabbos on our consciousness all week? Because Shabbos is Ki Sheshes Yomim Masa Hashem Es Hashemayim Vesaret. Uve Yom Hashvi'i Shabbos Ve'inafa. So every day I'm reminded of, I come face to face with, I maintain at the upper echelons of my consciousness that God is the Creator. It's a philosophical hakara. It's a yediyah. It's something that I recognize. Look at the Ibn Ezra on the top left-hand side. Look at the Sforno. The Ibn Ezra says, "V'tam zocher es yom haShabbos, sheyizkor b'chol yom chesh ben yemei haShavua." Ad shalo yishkach eze yom hashvi. You have to keep cheshbon. Today's the first day, today's the second day. What's the whole point? Why do I need to do that? Says the Ibn Ezra. Shehu chayev lekadsho. What does it mean, lekadsho? Lasos lomala yisera al kol hayamim. Shalo taseh bo melacha. I have to keep Shabbos in mind the whole week because I have to know when Shabbos is. I have to hold cup because I may end up working on the Shabbos. I may end up missing the cheshbon. I may end up making a mistake. So the point that I have to have Shabbos at the forefront of my consciousness is not for some philosophical awareness and understanding and appreciation as God is the Creator. It's very practical. I have to know I got to keep Shabbos on the right day. And the same thing in the Sforno, and the same thing in the Chizkuni. What's the point of all of this? The point of all of this is to, I believe, bring a different kind of an interpretation. What does Zachar mean? Zachar means, to put at the forefront of our consciousness. And here's another phrase that I would like to suggest. One thing we could do is we could remember an event that happened. I remember an event that happened. Here's my reformulation. I remember that an event happened. I remember that an event happened. Not I remember the event that happened. I don't remember the event. What I remember is that it happened. What does it mean to remember that it happened? Thinking about it. It's on my mind. This is not I remember what I ate for breakfast. This is not I'm not remembering an event that happened. I'm remembering that an event, namely Brias HaOlam, that event happened, and I remember that, and that's really important to me, whether it's philosophical or conceptual like the Ramban, whether it's more practical like the Ibn Ezra, like the Sforno and others. Now let's come back to Amalek and some of the other Zechiros, top of page 9. Probably the clearest focus for this discussion of what does it mean, Zechira, in rabbinic literature, or one of the most central sources, is a sifra at the beginning of Parshas Kosai. And in number Gimel, it's the third of the wide lines towards the beginning of the line. V'cheinu omer zochar es yom ha-shabbos lekatsha, yocho belibcha, what is yocho belibcha? I remember. What does it mean? I close my eyes. I'm now remembering Shabbos. Voltman gemeint yochol belibcha. It's very internal. Yochol belibcha. No, can't be. Kishu omer shamar. Haresh miras lev amura. Hamani mekayim zocher. Shetiyah shone beficha. You got to do something. You have to say something. So how do Chazal interpret how you mekayim the mitzvah of zocher es yom haShabbos lekatsho? It means zochrehu al hayayin, kachehu bidavarim. It means it's an amira. You have to say something. You can't go, and I'm meditating, and I'm chazaring, and I'm remembering, and I'm. You have to act on it. You can't just think it. You have to do something about it. V'cheinu omer zochar atishka acheis asher ektzavtos Hashem elokecha bamidbar. Same thing. And the pasuk says by Miriam, what does it mean? Hamani mekayim sheti yashona beficha. V'cheinu amar zocher eis asher asa lecha amalek. Zocher eis asher asa lecha amalek. Yachu belibcha. You might think that I have to remember. Remembering is very passive. You could look at me. You have no idea what I'm doing. I'm remembering. I'm holding in the parsha of remembering. You might think that that's a kiyum of Zohar Esa Sherasu Lachama, like I am remembering, it's very personal, it's internal, it's not identifiable, it's not verifiable, you can't see what I'm doing. No, can't be. Kishehu Omer Lo Sishka Hare Shechichas Leiv. So what does it mean? Amura, it's already said. Hamani Mekayim Shetei Shana Befich. So what are the actions? Now this is crucially important. For Judaism, Judaism is not just about experiencing and feeling. We'll come back to that. It's about doing something. There is no independent mitzvah, according to the Sifra, to remember. I am now remembering. That is not what the Torah means, and he gave five examples, when the Torah says remember. Remember is to do something relevant to these mitzvos. Memory imposes an obligation upon us. Either an ideological obligation, we remember Shabbos so we should know that God is the Borei Olam, or practical obligation, that we should remember Shabbos so we should know which day of the week to observe Shabbos. Or take a look at Miriam. Look at Rashi. It's enough in a Rashi. What does the pasuk say in the middle of the page? Zochar Eis Asher Osa Hashem Elokecha LeMiriam Baderech Betzeischa MiMitzrayim. I should remember what happened to Miriam. So what's this? Like, this is an exercise in history? Today is February 2018. So I'm now remembering what Hashem did to Miriam. Okay, I'm good. Do I have to do every day? Do I have to do every week? Do I have to do a year? I'm good. God put me down. I did the Miriam Zohar today. I'm good to go. Is that it? Does it mean to just remember? Look at Rashi. Zohar Esa Sherosa Hashem Elokecha LeMiriam. In Basa Lihi Zohar, Shalo Tilka Bitzaras. If you want to make sure you don't get Tzaras, Al Tisabra Lashon Hara. You shouldn't talk Lashon Hara. Zohar Ha'osin LeMiriam. Remember what happened to Miriam? She spoke about her brother. What's the Miriam Mechayev me? The Mechayev me to be a mensch. Somebody, I'm remembering. No, don't talk Lashon Hara. Be a human being. Be a mensch. It's Mechayev me. Memory alone, I'm remembering, is irrelevant, doesn't help me any. It has to be affected somehow. And here it happens to be affected by not saying Lashon Hara. There has to be like a hashlacha. There has to be a nafkamina. Let's come to Amalek. What's Amalek about? It's amazing. So the Sifra says, Shetehishona Beficha. So the Ravid in his parish on the Sifra at the bottom of page 8, when it comes to Shabbos, the Ravid says in Sifkot and Gimel, Shetehishona Beficha Paris, Hilcha Shabbos. The way he interprets when it comes to remember Shabbos is not just to make Kiddush. You got to know what you're doing. You have to know the laws. You have to know how to behave. And then he comes to Amalek. Shetehe zichron Amalek. Shetehe shona beficha. Amazing. Amazing. Hilchos. You see what I see at the bottom of the page? Hilchos Megillah. Hilchos Megillah. Voltechalom ol gemeint. What are you talking about? Megillah is a derabbana. Megillah is a mitzvah of the derabbana. And Zechiras HaMolech is a mitzvah d'oraisa. There's a tushtel, the Ravid tushtels, Megillah, not just the Ravid, third to the top of the next page, the Ramban on this pasuk. When you open up this question and you ask yourself, what does memory mean? All of a sudden, sources that have been staring you in the face all this time take new meaning. So often a Ramban, Zohar Eis Asher Osolcha HaMolech, top of the next page, Smach, right in the middle, 5-6 lines down in the middle of the line. Smach lemikra megillah min haTorah. Mikra megillah min haTorah. V'hanochon be'enai shehu lomar. Shelo tishkach ma she'oso lanu Amalek. At she'nimcha es shmo mitachas hashamayim. We have to remember what Amalek did. Unesaper ze libonenu uledoroseinu lomar lohem kach oso lanu harasha. Pasuk doesn't say that. Pasuk says, Zohar Eis Asher Osa Lecha Amalek. You have to remember. It's not enough to remember. I remember. I'm a good Jew. I remember. No. A kiyum in the mitzvah. A chelik in the mitzvah. This is Rav Hirschsprung's Hakdamah to his book. It's an Ofna Ramban. It's not about me. It's not just that I remember. It's not something that I do passively and I internally maintain and hold within me. says the Ramban, Unisaper Zelibonenu Ledoroseinu Lomar Lohem Kach Osa Lanu Harasha. Vechem b'maisa Miriam. The end of the line, it's Tavinu Lahodia Libanenu Unisaper Bo Ledoros. It's not about an individual. It's not about one generation. It's multi-generational. Memory is not. I'm Yetze, the mitzvah of memory, if I close my eyes and I remember. And it's not even I'm Yetze, the mitzvah of memory, Lefishitas Arrived, when it comes to Mechia Samolek, that I say the Megillah. I have to share it. I have to transmit it. Memory imposes an obligation upon me. And I want to conclude with a few basic yesodis that I think about a lot. See, Yechmin Shoyin, I mentioned already Yechmin Shoyin and Altiyid, Baruch Shem, I have Einikloch. So I have children, I have grandchildren. I think a lot about what's my achrayas as a Zaydi. My Einikloch kumi Zaydi. So, David Shush should give me kayach. They're very important to me. What's my achrayas as a Zaydi? I understood a little better what my achrayas was as a Abba, as a father. I understand. It's a little more complicated with the Zaydi, because there's like somebody's in between, right? Somebody's like in between you and the, right? You're not the balabas anymore, right? You is somebody wonderful and delicious and sweet and incredible. You know what the guy said, that if I would have known how incredible grandchildren are, I would have had them first. But, you know, as I get this, Baruch Hashem, Olam, I think about this a lot. And part of the way I formulate my obligation, and I'm also a shtickler, an educator, I teach a little bit at YU. Part of it is to convey memory, to paint a picture, to describe something. My father, Zichrono Levracha, Rabbi Herschel Schachter, was the first American Army chaplain to enter into the Buchenwald concentration camp. This past Thursday night, I sat with two of my grandchildren who are doing a whole event at their school. They go to Bruria in Elizabeth, New Jersey. They're juniors in high school, and they're doing a whole Holocaust project. And I sat with them with pictures of my father, Zichrono Levracha, and stories about my father, Zichrono Levracha. There's this iconic picture. It takes up a whole wall in Yad Vashem where he's running a service. And I was desperately trying to convey my memory of what it was like growing up in the household of my father, Zichrono Levracha, to my Einikloch. They knew him only when he was ill and sick and no longer able to really communicate. And this is so important. And this is important for us not because it's only a family story. This is the story of the Jewish people in the 20th century. So our job is to communicate and to create memories. And what does that mean? How do you create a memory of something you never saw? So you paint a picture. But how effective is that? You see, in pre-modern times, Jews shared certain fundamental assumptions. In pre-modern times, an individual felt like that individual was part of a group. There was something called very strong group identity. In pre-modern times, people felt that belonging to that group really mattered, that it had a hold on me. That belonging to a group obligates me, it's machayev me to do something. In pre-modern times, that way of being obligated was expressed in familiar ways. So I understood what it meant to be part of a community. I understood what it meant to bring food to a base level. I understood what it meant to help make a minyan. I understood what it meant they were familiar to me. Identity was self-evident. Expectations in pre-modern times largely were self-evident. The language of discourse was familiar. Everybody resonated with psukim and with ma'amari chazal, and now comes modern times. And now comes the 20th century, now the 21st century. In modern and contemporary times, most of these assumptions are gone. They're mamish, gone, they're bottle ka'afra da'ara. Most contemporary Jews do not feel like they're part of a group at all. There is no sense of group identity. Therefore, nothing matters. There's no hold on them. There is no sense of obligation to anything. And nothing regretfully uniquely Jewish is very familiar to them. They're not in the language of the culture that sustained us for thousands of years. And I want to say that even in the modern Orthodox community, the community that I believe most of us are a part of, the community that is populated by graduates, by delicious, exalted graduates of the Azrieli Graduate School of Jewish Education, and where the schools that we probably send our kids in our Einiklach, we're also facing today tremendous challenges. What does it mean to have a group identity? What does it mean to feel like you're part of a group? What does it mean that you have an obligation? That mitzvah means an obligation. A mitzvah doesn't mean a good deed. Mitzvah doesn't mean it's optional. But a mitzvah means you're commanded, that you're mechayev. What does it mean? How do we show them and share with them what it means to be committed to a group and not to make it optional? And what it means to be familiar with the language of our tradition, the Ivra, the Psukim, the Mamari Chazal. Our job is to address these three issues. We can't recreate pre-modern realities, but we can address them in contemporary categories. And I have four or five yesaidis that I want to share. We have to make sure that our kids and our grandkids and our students feel like they're part of the group, to the extent to which we can make them feel a sense of obligation. At least they should feel a sense of Jewishness, that it matters to them. And to create a set of experiences and behaviors that will make a difference for them. Number one, memory needs to be in flux. It's a mudna sentence. I'm going to say it again. Memory can't be frozen. Memory, the way I am defining it, needs to be in flux. Quote, memory is not an unchanging vessel for carrying the past into the present, a storehouse in a box passed on, a thing. This comes from this book. But it is a process that works differently at different points. And let's take Amalek, for example. What does it mean, Zachar es asher asolucha Amalek? So in olden days through the 20th century, we knew very well what that meant. Go tell a kid today in 2018, Zachar es asher asolucha Amalek. In a sense, it's a humongous bracha. They don't know from Amalek. They were never in a pogrom. They don't know. They didn't expect. They're living Baruch Hashem, Tif Tayer, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Shachiyanu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu lasman hazeh. The notion of what it means, Zachar Esa Sherasol Cha Malik, needs to change. The Zion Chaf Reish. Look on the left hand side of page 10. I bring you Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch. I bring you Rav Moshe Avigdor Amiel. It has to do with an ideology. It has to do with a perspective. It has to do with bad. It has to do with war. It has to do with violence. We're not talking here about a specific Amalek. The notion of violence, the notion of not having correct values, that is Amalek. He calls it Amalekus. Look at Rav Amiel at the bottom left of the page. The Gamba Amalek, two lines from the bottom. You'll read Rabbi Hirsch in English yourself. You have the English here at the bottom. The Gamba Amalek, Madgeshes, HaTorah, Be'ikar, Ezecher Amalek. Masha na'aseh, look at the next word. It's amazing, he made up a word. Ho amalekus. There is amalek dom. There's amalek hood. It's a new world now in the 20th century. What does it mean? That has become a kultur. It has become an ideal ne'etzal. It has become a ra'ayon nisgav. It has become a chokhmah ila'a. Rabbi Hirsch says, if you value violence, and you think people who do violence are good, you are in trouble. What does it mean? It means to make a peaceful world. Memory needs to change the message of what it means to make it resonant. For our children, our grandchildren, and our students, the message has to change. Number one, it has to be relevant for us. We have to matter. It has to matter to us. You understand that we transmit Jewish memory. We're not teaching physics, and we're not teaching literature, we're not conveying a collection of facts, we're not even conveying a body of knowledge, we're conveying the kishkis, we're conveying our lives. We are nowhere, mamish, nowhere, if it doesn't burn in us. Any teacher understands, any Limudei Kodesh teacher for sure, any teacher I would say, but certainly when it comes to transmit values, I have to burn with those values. If I just say it, misafo milachutz, the kids will pick it up. They'll understand they don't really mean it. The first thing to do is that it really has to matter.
And it has to matter to us. And it matters to us differently. We're all individuals. It matters to us differently, but it has to matter to us. We need to do avoda. We need to understand for us what is Zacharias Yom HaShabbos L'Kachem. We need to understand for us what does it mean Zacharias L'Sharas HaShem Elokecha L'Miriam. We need to understand for us, each one of us, you and me, what does it mean Zacharias Asher Asa L'Cha Amalek in February of 2018. What does it mean? And if it means something for us and we're burning with it, and it matters to us, then we have a shot at being able to convey it to our children, grandchildren, and into the next generation. Collective memory needs to involve every member of the collective. So for a while, I thought I was onto something, and then I checked with my Yechide Skula linguists, and they told me that I'm all wrong. I was struck by the fact that the same root for the word memory is the same root for the word male in Hebrew. Zayin Chaf Resh is Zohar as opposed to Nekeva, and Zayin Chaf Resh is memory. So I had this notion, something's wrong with this picture. Somehow that the man is associated with memory, but it's a man thing. I remember my mother telling me before I could even think straight that sitting at the Seder, the Sheinu Yod Lishol is at Psachlo. Vosep is at Psachlo, because it's my mommy taught me. My mommy taught me who first learned Torah with Rashi. Who was the first one to teach Torah to Rashi? His mother. Mother taught him Torah. And here, there's somehow this connection between Zohar and Zecher. So my ancient Near Eastern Hebraists and Aramaicists and linguists tell me that's Nishkishtoigen, Nishkifleigen. But what it points to is something very important. That it's not a man thing. I would say on the contrary, it's even more a woman thing, because the women are the ones who are blessed to be able to give birth to children, to raise the children. It's both. Let's say it's not only a woman's thing. It's not only a man's thing. It's both. And it's important for the collective memory, historical memory, is only going to work if every single person, and every single person means every single person for whom this is important, matters. And the last thing I want to mention is the power of feelings and experiences. The power of experience, and here it's very difficult. How do I explain to my grandchildren what it meant for me to grow up in the household of a liberator who grew up in a household when we would have people for Shabbos and they would pull up their sleeves and I would see the numbers and they would tell me their stories and they would break down and they would see my father and they would go over and they would fall on him, bawling, just bawling, not even saying any word. I was walking once with him in 1967 after the Six-Day War down Rehov Melech George. And you've all been there. We passed the Jewish Agency and then there were some stores and then there wasn't even yet a Beit Knesset HaGadol yet. And then at the end of the street there was a King's Hotel, Malon HaMelachim. Two Jews in their 30s are coming towards us with Bart and Payas and black hats. They're walking towards us. I'm 16 years old. It's 1967. We're walking with my father. They're coming towards us. And I see them stopping, and I see them staring. Then the next thing I know is they come running over to my father, Zichrono Livracha. They threw themselves on him, crying hysterically, holding on to him for dear life. And I'm watching this. It seemed like it was forever. It was, I'm going to say, 25 seconds, a long time. And then they somehow composed themselves. They dried their eyes. They looked at him. And they walked away. And they didn't say a word. And I knew exactly what this is. These are two people whose lives he saved in the Buchenwald concentration camp. How do I convey that? How do I convey to my children? Rav Soloveitchik, on the last page, talks about, I'm a good teacher. I'm a good teacher. I know I'm a good teacher. I know I'm a good Rebbe. I know I'm not the best of them. I'm not so modest to say that I'm really a great Rebbe. It's a beautiful quote on the left-hand side. I am not modest. I'm far from being modest. I know I'm a good teacher. But the right side, one trick I haven't mastered. One thing I cannot do is to tell my students how I felt on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur when I was their age. He went to the Zeder Reb Chaim. Could you imagine a Seder by the Zeder Reb Chaim? Reb Chaim Brisker, a Seder? It's transcendental. It's amazing. His father is there, his family is there, the Zayda is there. He's a teenager. He's sitting by the Zayda, by the Seder. And he can teach his students, his Talmidim, every Milchamis and Arvei Psachim in the tiny print in the back of the Gemara. He can teach him all the Chakiras and the Lumdis and the Tzushtos and the Lishitosos in Hilchas Pesach. And he did it, and they got it. But one trick I haven't mastered. How do you convey feelings? How do you convey experiences? Because the experiences is so central. And that's the job of a parent and a grandparent and a teacher. How do you create a language where experience is important? There's a big field today, and Azrieli is at the forefront. Experiential Jewish education. Experience is central. And that is what Zachor means. That's what it means to remember. It's at the forefront of my consciousness. I conclude with a quote that I wrote a number of years ago, and I want to apply it to Rav Hirschsprung Zatzal. I have long been in awe, in absolute awe, of Holocaust survivors, witnesses to the utter depravity of humanity at its very worst, and examples of the strength, fortitude, hope, and greatness of humanity at its very best. Exposed to the most malignant radiation of human cruelty, they emerged from their experience not with fantasies of revenge, but with fantasies of respectability and decency. Some of them spoke of their experiences and some didn't. And we're blessed that Rav Hirschsprung Zatzal spoke and wrote about his experiences. Either way, they responded to the total assault of death by an extraordinary outpouring of life. And for some, Baruch Hashem, Rav Hirschsprung among them, by a stubborn and tenacious commitment to Jewish tradition at its fullest, in spite of everything that they experience. It's a privilege today to be misyachid ourselves with the memory of such a Gaon Adir, such an incredible human being who had such a tremendous impact. Moreno Harav Pinchas Ben Harav Chaim Zecher Tzadik Levracha Tehei Nishmaso Tzrura B'Tzrura.